Shavua Tov, everybody. So we'll start. We are on verse 2, page 2, okay? Page 2 of the handout. And that's the third paragraph. So what we saw last week is the following. That before coming to Mitzrayim, before coming to Egypt, the Jewish identity was a collective identity. From Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the 12 Shvatim, the 12 tribes, and the 70 people that came. Like creating the almost like what we spoke about, the alphabet. Those are the letters of the Jewish people. But that was a collective identity. When you come to Mitzrayim, when you come to Egypt, then you go through the process of creating a verbal expression. So says the Reb Tzedek, Ubirur zeh, how did we get the ability to express ourselves? Aledei vavodim, vavodum, it says in the Pasuk, vavodim, Hashem told Avram, yado ateda ki ger yezaracha beretz lo lahem. They are going to be strangers, vavodim, they're going to work, ve'inu esam, they will suffer arba meos shana. And then afterwards, ve'achreichen, yitzu b'rchush godlo. Ve'achar kach yitzu. Ki ayu az besoy da ibur. Mitzrayim is viewed by the Ari as the pregnancy, the gestation period of the Jewish people. Haylu kmo ubar yerech imoy. The same way that when a ubar, when there is a gestation, when the fetus is in the womb of the mother. The im lo shum chiyus bifnei atzmoy. He has no identity of himself. The idea of the fetus, as great as he is, he's not an independent being. He's part of the mother. Rak nichal bechiyus imoy. Kach hem bechius haklole demirosh alahem. The Jewish people, the identity was exactly like a fetus, like gestation. That we were living in that collective being, but we had no separate identity. V'laylem chius prati klau. We didn't have any individual life. Rak mitzola mitzad dekola istolek. And then, but then, just because of that voice, that had left. That's what we spoke of. Tzodok always says that there is the difference between the voice, the sound, and the words. So he explains, Vayomus kol adorahu. When the generation died, of the original generation, our collective identity lost its consciousness, and we became a collective unconscious. As itchila shibud, because so therefore, as long as the Shvatim, as the tribes were alive, we know that the Jews were not slaves to Paro, because we have an identity. Vayu sham legoy, Chazal say the Agoda melamed shayusrol mitzuyanim sham. Vay legoy means the Jews had an identity in Mitzrayim, but that identity wasn't until we were oppressed by Mitzrayim. That oppression starts when the Jews lose their cognitive identity, and they go into something called the pregnancy, which is a latent, which is used in Jungian language into a collective unconscious. When the 70 original people died, the original generation who had their own identity died, so what happens then? That conscious, that apparent, that visible identity that we had, istalek, we lost. V'nistalek gam kedusha klolis, miut biskalos. Even the Jewish identity, which was the kedusha haklolis, which was this general identity, disappears. So what happens is that in always, we have Chazal created a model that we see the model always repeating. We always have something which is a perfect situation that gets shattered and broken and has to be reconstructed, right? Hashem creates Adam. Adam is the perfect being. He is destroyed, and you have the marble creation or creation of the Adam. People create from the bottom. Luchos HaRishon, they have the first tablets. They are broken, and we have now the tablets to be built. First Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. The second Beis HaMikdash is like a quasi, some kind of a micro representation. It needs to be built. Klal Yisrael, we come with a Jewish identity, with the 70 people, which is the composition of the 3, the 70, and the 12, which is the Jewish alphabet. In Mitzrayim, we lose that. it gets broken, and that conscious identity gets distorted and gets lost. We are left with three things only. Lashinu shmam levusham. We didn't lose our language, our names, and our clothing. That's it. But everything else was lost. Halal of the Avodah Zarah, halal of the Avodah Zarah. So the consciousness, it's the breaking of the Jewish identity. Hagam demerse babinim, even though we still latently, unconsciousness we had, mikol mokum hu behelem. It's unconscious. Ubenigle shehem migoy mikerev goy. And then in the conscious, on the apparent way, we are part of Mitzrayim. Shem besoid hayibur b'Mitzrayim. This is the Jewish gestation. The gestation is that the conscious identity breaks and the unconsciousness takes place, takes hold. Ubepri Yitzchayim, and the Arizal explains, the Mitzrayim soid habina. Mitzrayim is the concept of bina, of understanding. Bina is that unconscious possibilities that we have. We know that bina, chokhmah, is when we get from somebody something. God gave us knowledge. God gave us wisdom. And bina is that latent ability to develop it, to develop the possibilities. The bina is called Em Habonim. She's called the mother. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to us as a family. God never appears to us as an individual. He appears to us as a family. There's the father and the mother. Father is Chochmah. Wisdom, Chochmah, is the father because he gives you the potential. He gives you the kernel of knowledge. And the Bina is the one to develop. Mitzrayim is that. It's like we took the seed from the forefathers and then we went through a gestation period, which is called the time of Bina. That's why the Shem, the name Elohim, is the operative name. Va'ishma Elohim, Va'ikre Elohim. That's why it starts from Yitzchak also, which is also Midas Adin. It's always a repetition and a concept of Elohim. And that's today, Shabbos the morning, we spoke that Paro is the one who the Medrash says he appointed 120 guards in each one of the four corners of Mitzrayim, says the Megala Mukes, because the word Elohim can be permuted, meaning you could create permutations. You could change and switch the letters into 120 words. That's why I always say when you wish somebody should live to 120, it's not an age issue. It's a developing of potential because Elohim is the powers, is the concept of powers. 120 is the possible permutations of that. So you should use all your koichos in the various permutations, in the various beings, in the various changes. So Mitzrayim is soida bina, he explains. V'achar kach yitzukei yu'az besoida yibur. We were in gestation. Haynu, kmo ubar yerechim odin loshim chiyus bifnei atmoi. No, sorry. Devada Mitzrayim mokom atuma. Ki b'yesha yisroh sham nemar anuchi yered. That even though Mitzrayim is the mokom atuma, how can you have the gestation in such a impure, in such a horrible place? But it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went here. And all the Kedusha, in a very unconscious, in a very hidden way, was there. That's why Mitzrayim was able to be meshabed. You realize that Mitzrayim, Egypt, were the tools and the agents of creating, they were doing the agency of God to allow the Jewish people to develop. She called the Vashubi says she called Dover who may meet the son of Semis Borah, the Lachen Nikra Vukhanezar Avdi. Always when you have somebody who is very powerful, no matter if he's evil or if he's good, he's a tool of God. And that's what's coming. So therefore, Nebuchadnezzar, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he was called my servant. Shevet api rak beglim chover dechav she izbo shuoyze kide shekab lon shacharkach. The reason is Paro thought that he was doing it, but he was doing the service of God. Sharei lo yeh lo liyon desh mikivan shu berotzot she mizbor kmo shek sharam ba Mitzrayim. Truly, he shouldn't even have been punished because that he was following God's decree. She neemar mikor vavod rak vishem omru. Mi Hashem v'nimzahem eshabdim lekech nenshu. They were only punished because they thought that they were doing it. Mitzrayim, that pregnancy of Mitzrayim is not the punishment. This is the gestation of the Jewish people. When we take the collective unconscious that we're given by the office to allow us to express ourselves. And the question is how this is done. So if you go to the next pages, on pages 2, 3, 4, page 5. So page 5, on the heading of the Griz Halevi al Shmois. On the Griz Halevi is the Brisk Rov, is the Rov of Brisk. And the Rov of Brisk says an amazing idea that we're going to apply to see how is that, that the Jewish expression, us to express as people, our gestation is Mitzrayim. So what Rav Tzodok is saying, the Ari says, that the Egyptians were the tools for God to allow us to develop. And that's the stage of development which is called the Soid HaYibur. This is the pregnancy and the gestation period. How is that achieved? So says the Brisk Rov. ומבואר זה על פי מדיסה מהגודל של פסח. ברוך שומר תחתו לישראל, ברוך שהקדוש ברוך הוא חשב את הקץ. It says that God accounted for the ending. ויהיינו, ששומר הבטחו של אברהם, הקדוש ברוך הוא kept his promise to אברהם, שבלילה הזה אני גואל את בניך, that the night of Pesach, the Jews will be saved. וחשב שני זמונים אלו. And it says there were two times, הקדוש ברוך הוא, when he gave the promise to אברהם, he gave him the Brisk Rov Shita is that he told him two things will happen. Shezman galuson, first he gave them the galus, how long the galus will be. Vezman hakesh istaymu vegiyu keechad. Okay, and then you have the salvation. There are 400 years of galus, of diaspora, of bondage, and the 430 year is the year of geula. But there were two separate issues. So skip to the next paragraph. Vina b'medrash, he said, the medrash writes, Shet arba me'oy shona, the problem is the Jews are supposed to be in bondage for 400 years. And if you make an accountability, they were never there for 400 years. They were there only for 210. It just is from the ages of the people, they were not there for so long. So there are two midrashim. Shayu tzichim leoz b'mitzrayim v'yorak matayim v'yaser, v'ayin mishum shebet shenoy lad Yitzchak t'chil aminyan. So one medrash is because it counts from Yitzchak. Because the pasuk doesn't say that the Jews are going to be in Mitzrayim. It says, Kiger Yezaracha Beretz Lohem, they're going to be in a strange land. And from the time that Yitzchak was born, the Jews didn't have their self land and they didn't have the self determination. Ubimokom Echresh Midrash, but there's a second Midrash, Shekosha Shibudish Liminyan. Rashi quotes, Davoid Asparech, the Jews worked very hard and they suffered a lot. That the suffering was a concentrated suffering, that in 210 years, you had 400 years of suffering. So here there are two midrashim. One says that the reason why the 400 years are possible, because 400 years don't start from Egypt. They start 400 years start from where? They start from Yitzchak. The second possibility is that they worked very hard. Now, what I'm going to add to you is a third perspective, which is the Parshas Drachim. Parshas Drachim writes that there is an allusion for the Gemara in Brachas, that what it says in the Pasuk, that they had 6 children born at every time. So the number of people, Bishush Noshim Tzitkan, is because of the holy women at that time, Hashem gave a Bracha, that the amount of people who were supposed to be born in 400 years were born in 210 years only. So you had a demographic explosion. So now you have three reasons how the 400 years fit into 210. Either because counts from Yitzchak, or because they suffered, so the amount of suffering was concentrated and you have 400 years of suffering in 210, or you have an amount of work. So says the Rav, V'nire demar kan shnei dvorim. The idea is that here these midrashim are addressing two things, and really three. Echad galut shel tavchana, because if you read in the pasuk, pay attention, the pasuk describes, number one, Kiger Yezaracha Beretz Lolem, they will be Gerim, they will be strangers and foreigners for 400 years, that's one. Avdut Shel Arba'im Shana, then it says Vavadum, they're going to work for 400 years. And then it says in the Pasuk, Ve'inoisam, and they're going to suffer 400 years. So the Golus Mitzrayim has three stages. One stage is strangers in a foreign land, the second stage is work, and the third stage is suffering. And that's why each medrash is answering something else. The medrash that said on the part of the punishment, that they were supposed to be 400 years as strangers, as foreigners in the land, that you come from Yitzchak, because so Yitzchak was a stranger in the land. because he was in Golos, even though he lived in Eretz Yisrael all the time, but was not under his control. He couldn't control, he couldn't hold it, it was nothing. He lived as a stranger. But he didn't work, he didn't suffer. Yitzchok had a good life. So what it is, the gav, so that's the second medrash. The first medrash is talking about how long did they stay in Mitzrayim as strangers, start from Yitzchok. But he didn't work, he didn't suffer. The work is the production of the work, the output. The output of 400 years came about how? Because there's so many people born that you had 400 years work done over 210. But if you work only for 210, you're right, the work is the same, but the suffering is not. On that, the third medrash adds that avodat parech, the fact that paro made even more suffering, that extra suffering compensated for the 190 years that he didn't suffer. So Golos Mitzrayim was 400 years, and you had to have 400 years of being foreigners in the land, work, and suffering. Okay? And that's what the Beskrov says. So he says like this, V'inim anu meshubodim v'oivdim kvar b'shur shel tavshon, but you realize that if you only count the extra amount of work, you still, ach be'golos le'edan b'mishon, you have to be as a foreigner 400 years. Even if the Golos was 400 years, but if they didn't work or didn't suffer, they had to stay. That's how Kodesh Boch was very kind that he made all these accounts fall on the same day. That all of them, the work, the suffering, and being a foreigner fell after 210 years for different reasons. Okay? Now the question is why? Why did Hashem tell Avram, you have to go ahead and to have your children go through Golos? They have to be foreigners, they have to go through work, and they have to go through suffering. And here we're going to say something which I think is extremely important. Says the Sefer Yetzirah, the world was created with three things. And I mentioned once before, Besefer, Besefer, Besipur. The world was created with a book, and a story. Those are the three Sforim of Rosh Hashanah that are opened, is the book, and the story. So the Gro explains, what does it mean, the book and the book? It says, because there is the book of the author. God created a world that he gives us as he presents us something. But the book is also the book of the reader, how we read and interpret. As you realize that in any book, Hans Gadamer always says, you can never understand or be exactly sure of what the author means. In life, the best you could attempt is to merge the horizon of the reader to the horizon of the author. You go together and you come to something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a world, gives us a mission. That's the world, is the book of the author. But then we have the book of the reader, how we understand our mission, how we perceive God in the world. And then is the story, taking and merging those two and applying them to bring life, to take those two books, those two messages, and apply them to life. In Chazal, that's called the book, and the story. This is individual expression. Individual expression is exactly this. We have a mission from God. We try to uncode or to unpack that message according to our understanding. So it becomes almost a partnership between us and God. It's a code. It's basically when you have a code, that there is the code of the sender, and the receiver has a different code. And they merge the two codes together to unpack and to basically decode the message. And then life is to apply that message into real life. This is Jewish expression. You should know the Haggadah Shel Pesach is exactly follows this model. If you follow the Haggadah Shel Pesach clearly, you follow this model. The Haggadah Shel Pesach has a few components which are essential to the Haggadah. The first essential part is there has to be a form of questions and answers that you have to question and somebody needs to answer. To Rama, to the point that if you have nobody to ask, you have to ask yourself. You just ask a rhetorical question. It says the Reb Chaim was used to say that what makes the Haggadah unique in all of the remembrance of Mitzrayim, because we remember Mitzrayim every single day. We have a mitzvah to remember Mitzrayim every day. It's the most constant mitzvah. So what's unique about the Haggadah? So if you look at the Rambam, in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, he says the first one has to be in form of questions and answers. The second part of it is that in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, we have a mitzvah to add on. We have to add on. The Rambam Shita is, do you know how you do the add-ons? You just don't add things. Some people say, okay, I'll buy a new book. No. You take the drosha of the Harami Oivedovi. We have a pasuk. We read the Parshas Abikurim. Parshas Abikurim is the time that when you brought the first fruits in Israel, you read and you thank God for Jewish history. And you read, and on the Haggadah Shel Pesach, it's not enough to read the Parashat Abikurim. You have to explain it, to give interpretation. And the Rambam says the mitzvah is to add interpretation onto that. Kol amarbe lidrosh beparsha zu. Anybody who adds explanations. It's very funny because Arami Oivedovi is something which is such an interesting part of it, right? We darshan the story of Mitzrayim not from Sefer Shmot, which is the story of Mitzrayim. We learn from Sefer Dvorim. Sefer Dvorim says that when you went to the Beis Hamikdash to bring the Bikurim, you retold the story of Mitzrayim. Arami Oivedovi, Vayel Mitzrayim, Vayogor Sham. So everybody asks, why don't we take the original parsha to Darshan? Why this parsha is a Bikurim? There's so many scholars who came up with so many theories that Yuval, Professor Yuval, in the university, Hebrew University, always said that you don't take the parsha of Shmot, because the Christians use that parsha to basically look in something called typology, to look this as almost a prophecy of Jesus. So they didn't want to get mixed to it. They got into a Rami Oivedovi. That's what Yuval says. That's Yuval's idea. But why? And the Rambam says you have to darshan that parsha. Okay, let's leave the question a second. And the third component of the Haggadah, which is the critical component, you have to apply to the mitzvahs. It's not enough to tell the story. You have to apply to the mitzvahs. Pesach, matzah, umaror. And it has to be, b'shashish, matzah, umaror, the entire Haggadah has to be said when the matzah and the maror are in front of us. So those are the three components of the Haggadah. What makes the Haggadah unique? Questions and answers. You have to add your own interpretations, called a marble, something specific on the parsha of Arami Oivedovi, and has to be the mitzvahs HaPesach have to be part of the story. Why these three components? Because Rabbi said this is applying the Sefer, and the Sipur. The first one is the book of you. Here, the Pesach is a model of our expression. We are going to talk and tell the story. The first issue is you want to hear the story. You have to ask a question to get it. It's the book of the author. You want to know the facts, the author. That's why Keneged, the book of the author, you have to do in a form of questions and answers. The Haggadah are an answer to your questions, not a made-up story. It's a tradition that's there that you have to search for it. That's the book of the author. It's not enough the book of the author. It's always have to book to be the book of the reader. You have to say what the Haggadah means to you. That's why you use the Parsha of Arami Oivedovi. Arami Oivedovi is not the story of Mitzrayim. It's how the story of Mitzrayim means individually to you. That was the Parsha that was used when you brought the Bikurim to Eretz Yisrael. You wanted to thank Hashem. He says, you know something? Jewish history means this to me. And Ser Chazal, you have to add your own take every time. And I mentioned so many times that the Haggadah of Meister Rebbe Elazar Fleckless, had interleaves, open pages that every year he added to himself what Pesach meant to him. Because that's the book of the reader. So you have the story of Mitzrayim, the tradition, the book of the author, and what it means to us. Our take of that is the book of the reader. But in the books, in the two books, you know what you have to take? You have to take that decoded message and apply to life. And therefore, you have to apply with matzah umor munochim lefanecha. You have to take this into practical actions to change life. To just take the story of Mitzrayim and give what it means to us without putting into practice means nothing. These are the three approaches that the world has created: the book of the author, the book of the reader, and ultimately the application of it to create from those two messages a story. Sefer, Sefer Vesipur. In Chazal, because the shortage of the world is Chochma, Bina, and Das. Chochma is what you get from somebody, Bina is what you develop, and Das is connecting to the story. I mentioned, I think last year, Professor Yerushalmi, Yosef Yerushalmi at Columbia says the difference between history and memory, between Jewish history and the memory, which is Pesach, is because Pesach is existential. It's part of life. You apply to life. It's das. You connect to the story. Sefer, Sefer Vesipur is how we verbalize ourselves. In life, this is what we are. We are here in this world because we are getting a decoded message all the time. The first thing in life is to hear the message. Because it's so easy to walk and to just walk by and not realize that God is talking to us. So you have to ask the question. The way to listen to the message is to always have a question. What is God talking to me? What is He saying? What does this mean? Because then you get the message. But the messages are not clear. We have to decode it. It's always the reader. And when you decode the message, the idea is to apply it. Tell you in my life, I can tell you a million cases like this. My mother, Zichrona Livracha, was sick. I meet somebody on the elevator. And that somebody says, it's good here, know something. My brother, or my son is sick and there's nobody here, maybe you could come and visit. And I went to visit the guy, and always in life you have to ask, why did I meet this person? What is the message here? Right? I just meet somebody and he says, okay, go and visit, and you say goodbye, I visited, and done. And I'll tell you something, I said, I have to know what it is. So I decided I'm going to do research on this guy who's in the hospital. The bottom line is, I got exactly the picture, and I said, okay, what is the take? And we develop a relationship from that time till today. And probably I'm the only person that he talks to. And it's a whole complicated story. And you turn this into a reality. Because in life, nothing happens to us that there is not a decoded message. The first one is to ask. And to say, okay, to ask. Let me hear the message. Like the story of Mitzrayim. Then you have to darshan. What does that mean? What does it mean? What is there? Your own take out of it. And then to apply it. This is the story of life. This is how we verbalize God. And that's unique to all of us. But in this world, the people are running so much. It's so easy just to not even pay attention to things are happening. Things are happening all the time. I'll tell you just one more story. This is an amazing story, okay? People come to collect money every single Sunday. You could have hundreds of people. But sometimes, God says, okay, a guy opens the door, he's collecting money for what? For a koilo. And he shows me that Rabbi Aaron Leib told him to collect money. And I really dislike that. Because Rabbi Aaron Leib tells everybody to open a koilo. What does that mean? Yes, he told you because you're so unique. You and the other 100,000 people were here before. I said, please, don't start with that. You could get nothing. But he says, I'm of a different story. And so I saw the guy. Sometimes you feel the guy is right. So I start talking to him. And he tells me, I'm telling this story is an amazing story. So it just happened like 2 weeks ago. So I'm speaking to the guy. So he tells me, listen, for me it's a little different because the reality of it is I'm Baal Tshuva and I was very close to the Baal. So I said, you're Baal Tshuva, tell me. I want to hear the story. So the guy tells me the following story, okay? He was a guy who was in the Chel Avir. He was in the Air Force in Israel. He was not religious. And in the Air Force in Israel, they had a program, and I know the program, that they gave you like ishtalmuyot. They gave you 1 year paid to go and to study. It's for people to go to school because to be in the Air Force, right? And he was in the Air Force, and it's a very big commitment. So they want you to go ahead and to allow to have studies. So they give you 1 year of studies, but you have to go back to the army and to basically pay your duties and pay your dues because you just got paid. So he decided to go to yeshiva, and he decided to go to Bnei Brak. This guy, however, the story short, he goes to Bnei Brak, and he becomes a very Haredi guy, learning and etc., very close to Rav Shach. The year is over, he has to go back to the army. But what happened was his officer had resigned. Nobody was there. So he said, why should I come back? Meaning I had a commitment to go back, but nobody remembers the commitment. Nobody even knows who I am. So he went to ask Rav Shach. And Rav Shach told him, Lo kach yaseh b'mkumeinu. I remember the language. That's not how we do it here. You don't go. If you made a commitment, go back. So imagine, he sent this guy who was a chiloni a year before. Became from, go back to the Chel Avir, go back to the Air Force. And his language was, Lo kach yaseh b'mkumeinu. That's not what we do here. You made your word, keep your word. So, which is an amazing story in its own. Okay, he goes back. But listen, the story is not that. Okay, so he goes back. He goes back to the army, and he's working on the Modin. In the Chel Avir, they had also basically the CIA, the intelligence. And he says, by the way, I'll tell you a story, because we became friends, like conversations there. I thought this is such interesting stories. He said, I'll tell you a story, that before the Iraqi coup, before the nuclear reactor in Iraq that was bombed on Erev Shavuot, I was the one who I knew that's happening. I called Rav Shach, that attorney, he might not believe this, so I called Rav Shach to say Tehillim for this. And I'll tell you the truth, I don't know if they said Tehillim, if they didn't say Tehillim, but I did call. The note I told him, he said, I was in yeshiva. I'll tell you the story. That Erev Shavuos, I was in Ponovich, and Erev Shavuos, you realize in Eretz Yisrael, people are not in Beis Medrash. Erev Shavuos, who is he on the Beis Medrash? Only Americans who didn't have any family, I was there. And I was called by Rav Shach to say Tehillim. And I went there, and I said the Tehillim, and I didn't know what happened. And Shavuos night, we realized that they bombed the nuclear reactor. So I thought at that time, wow, I'm in the yeshiva that for some reason they have like some connections with the government. Like you don't think about Ponovich. Listen to this Ashgocha, right? This guy knew one side of the story, and he told me, he says, listen, I'm not sure if it ever happened, but I'll tell you that I went, I was still very close to Rav Shach. When I was working on the Modin, I called him. And I was saying the Tehillim, and I always thought to myself always, how does Rav Shach know? I mean, Begin called him. I always thought that Begin is an amazing guy. He called Rav Shach to say Tehillim right before they go to Iraqi. It's a very funny story. And this is a story that I finally were able to put it together. This is the story that happened Rav Shach, and it was only because Rav Shach told this guy, you gave your word, keep it. Lo kach yaseh b'mkumeinu. In this place, we don't do that. We don't just get away from promises because the guy's not there. So I'm only telling you, this could have been very easy if I would have closed the door, like I closed the door to a million people. But you see, the guy's real, and you have like some intuition, the guy's real. And then you start talking the story, and he says, well, the story of Rav Shach is so interesting. Like, and then you start, and we're able to close the loop on something that I can promise you was open for me for the last 40 years. I have this open loop, that Rav Shach, that I went that day, I remember like it was yesterday. They went to say Tehillim, we didn't know what, and I was thinking, speculating something's happening, or maybe nothing, who knows? And then the Kuriraki was there, the nuclear reactor was bombed like a few hours later. And I was able to close the loop, and the loop is such a beautiful story because this only happened because Rav Shach told this guy, you gave your word, keep your word. But this is how life is all about. Life is if we have opportunities all the time, but it's so easy to just lose these opportunities. But if we seize the opportunity, and I think the key is always to listen to it. This is how the Haggadah is. You should know something. This is what we learned in Mitzrayim. The first thing is we had to do work. You know what the worst thing about being a slave is? You have no ability to self-expression. You have to do the will and the plans of your master. You're not the owner of your schedule. I always tell people, you could have somebody who works, like to be a lawyer, and you're a workaholic, and you work 18 hours a day. And you have a slave who works 8 hours a day. So why is one slavery, the other one is not slavery? Because on one, that lawyer is doing it because he's trying to express himself. He's doing what he thinks is right. He is basically implementing his plan and his ideas. by a slave, he's doing the will of the master. He doesn't express himself, he's an expression of his master. That's why in Chazal say, Chazal explained it, Mashakon Eved Kon Rabbi. The Eved has no Yad, he has no ability to do anything. Yad Eved Kiad Rabbi. He is an expression of his master. In Mitzrayim, we lost the ability to express ourselves, but we learned by the hard way. Avodah, we had to produce work. Produce work means we have to listen to orders and to produce. You just couldn't ignore the orders. You had some kind of a amount to do. That's the first Vavodim. Then there was suffering. You know the suffering was, Chazal say, that what we did made didn't matter. You build something today, tomorrow I'll tell you, destroy it. That what we made had nothing, had no creativity, was menial work. That's the second part of it. And the third one is we didn't have a self-identity. We couldn't take the land and live the life because we are foreigners. Yitzchak couldn't. He would dig a well, they would cover the well, and then he had to dig another well. He couldn't live a Jewish life. This is to teach us how to read to the book, and the story. There, we had to listen to somebody else. That's the book of the author. The book of the reader was, the idea is that what we did meant nothing, was menial. To teach us how important it is to give meaning to what you do, to have an importance, to be proud of what you do. That's the book of the reader. And the idea of self-identity is the story. Yitzchak could not write his story. Every time he tried something, they undid it. The lack of the ability to write your real story. In Chazal, and we're going to see this, if you go back on the page before, the pre-tzaddik is like 10 pages, 10 lines from the bottom. Is the last word of the line is the word Ube Mitzrayim. The page before. The page before, right? Which is right the page before this. And it says, Ube Mitzrayim Haya Dor Hamabul. Those two generations, we are the product, as we spoke so many times, of the Dor Hamabul and Dor HaPaloga. We are the product of the Dor, the generation of the flood, and the generation of the tower. Dor Hamabul, V'nigzar Lehem Hayora Tashlichu. We were the ones who threw the children. We had to actually kill our own children. In other words, the idea is that you listen and your children, the ability to have children, was taken away from us. This is exactly Keneged Dor HaMabul. Dor HaMabul had the potential and they just wasted potential. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a message and the potential, they just wasted the potential. In Mitzrayim we are told, in the same vein, how terrible it's to lose your potential when you lose your own children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us potential and we just ignore it. That's the book of the reader, Keneged Dor HaMabul. V'chein nafsho is dor hapaloga, and then we had the generation of the tower. Shadei nigzar lehem avoid asporech, and because of them, we had to do work which is difficult. B'choymer u'bilveinim, we had to work with choymer, with, what you call it, with some kind of material, some kind of a clay, u'bilveinim, and with bricks. Ukmo she'omru, there he says, lachen ksivei moru es chayeyem, that suffering, life was tough. We had to really go through a tough life. Shaldei she'mora chayim shalem zochu lechol divrei Torah. Because for you to be able to express and to read something, you need effort. You need to suffer. Torah, it's kedeget Torah she'bal peh. If you want to have the real understanding, you have to really sweat on it. V'nidrash bechoymer, when it says that you worked with clay, Shteit Chazal, the Ri says, is Kal Vachoymer. The Kal Vachoymer is that you, something that you darshan yourself. Kal Vachoymer is the only Mida that anybody can darshan. So the Vaimores Chayim, the suffering is that for you to be able to darshan something, you have to really invest, to put work. That's Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the book of the reader. The book of the writer, of Tzodek says, was the fact that we had to kill our own children to realize that the potential lost is something so painful. And that's Keneged Dor HaMabul that wasted their potential. Keneged Dor HaPaloga, that they wanted to leave a world that they were able to control it without much effort. You realize how much effort you have to do it. If you want to have the book of the reader, you really have to invest in it. You have to invest to get your own ideas out of it. That's why they did and they were trained how to darshan kal v'chomer. כמו שאמר בסוכר, בשומח נידרש בין חומר לבקר לחומר, שאתה אדם מעצמאי. בכל מקום ניב לכל בדברי תוירה. בלווינים, the Zohar says, what means בלווינים? They worked and they suffered building bricks. Is בליבון הלוכה. To darshan הלוכה, to be able to paskan הלוכה. וכל שהוא עיקר הגיע בתוירה שבעל פה. Because the עיקר suffering and the work on תוירה שבעל פה is ללבן הלוכה. ולכל זה זוכו על ידי מהר וחייהם. And they were zoicha to the ability to darshan by knowing how to suffer. How to realize how important it is to make something that has meaning. לרב חוח חשובה לצעקי רב כעז. וזהו שאומרי מורר שענויך למל שם שמורס חייבו יסיינו. Okay? And then we continue that this is Torah שבכסב and Torah שבעל פה. כנגד the book of the writer is Torah שבכסב. Our interpretation is Torah שבעל פה. That's keneged, the avoida is keneged, the book of the reader, which is the concept that we had to follow orders, that we lost the potential of our children, they had to kill loyalty in our own children. And then the idea of the book of the reader. And these are the two that came to work. So it comes out that Mitzrayim is the gestation of Jewish people. We learned how to be able to write and to express ourselves. And the Haggadah is using that lesson as a prototype to how to teach children, which teach children that you have to look constantly in life, ask for questions and look for messages, and you have to work very hard to try to find out what the message means. And then you have to take that message and apply it to real life. Because life then has a meaning. We are always writing life. We are here writing the book. This is the book that we are. We have two books, and using the two books to write a story. And that's the message, what we got, the lesson. We have learned the hard way in Mitzrayim and goes from a collective unconscious into individual expression, and that's what it is. Now going back, so now we're going back to page 2 in the last paragraph. And this ability to verbalize the Seiruz Milematal, the Ivezaku Bidibur Ditfila, it starts when we prayed, we use our Dibur to connect to God. Oirer Kola Bechol Prat Nefesh Kdushos Aklolis, each one had his own prayer, his own needs. And therefore everybody got a special Kdusha. And that Kdusha was divided into two, Bedama Pesach Vedama Mila. Our blood, our essence, was given to us with two messages. We had two mitzvahs that were given there. The blood of the Pesach and the blood of the Korban Pesach, and the blood of Mila, the Bris Mila. Shemitzadzeh wa leida ditzias Mitzrayim. And this is our leida. The reason why it's blood is because this is what we became. We use the lesson of Mitzrayim to apply this to reality with two mitzvahs. Dam ha-Pesach and Dam ha-Mila. Shemitzad zehu aleida ditzias Mitzrayim, dama pesach edama leida, dama mila is the birth of Mitzrayim. Hainu yitzias kedusha protis lefoal. This is how the kedusha, the individual kedusha, came to realization. Ve'maksorim dematan toira. Dama pesach and dama mila, this double crown, is the double crown that we got in Matan Torah. Shekol echad hayo lo keser v'itznasus miyud al chaveiro. That's what makes us unique. Dama Pesach and Dama Mila, that's the individual expression. That's why each one has a crown, because you're able to elevate yourself above everybody else. Those are the ksorim, the crowns of Matan Torah. Then we lost that crown in the time of the eagle. And the question is why? How is Dama Pesach and Dama Mila our crown? This is the birth of the Jewish people. Is the blood of the Pesach, the blood of the Korban Pesach, and the blood of the Dam HaMila. So what I want to go with you is go to the two pages later. That's the last page. Go back again. I'm sorry that you have to go back and forth. Is the Maral and the Gurariye in Perikut Beis Pasuk Avov. Dama Pesach v'dama Mila. This is the famous Maral that explains Dama Pesach v'dama Mila. And by the way, this is also a lesson that applies to all Jewish liturgy, all of Jewish life. We just told you that the mission of life is the book and the story. That we learn from Mitzrayim. The birth is when we got the Dama Pesach and the Dama Mila. Dama Pesach and the Dama Mila are the two crowns of the Jewish people. What is Dama Pesach and Dama Mila? Says the Maral. Dafka ilu shnei dom yisana kudosh bochol ligoles Yisrael b'hem. Dafka those two mitzvahs. Ki mitchila Yisrael avodim lepar b'shvil ha-mila hayu avodim l'kudosh bochol. Mila means it's ethos, it's a being. We are avodim of Paro, and now we became avodim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sharim eforshim tama mila. What is mila? Why do you have a bris mila? Why do you have circumcision? This is what we change our body to show that we belong to Hashem. Shekol eved tzorek shilo choisem avdus. Every eved needs a sign that he belongs to somebody. Kiditnam basechet Shabbos eved yisem choisem shelo. Shabbos, like the Gemara Shabbos says, that Avodim, they had Loyaleinu in by the Nazis, we had a number. The number showed that we belong to the Nazis. The Bris Mila is the sign in our body that we belong to Hashem. So this is the first. The first ethos is that we belong to Hashem. Hashem is our King. This is a state of being. That's one. That's Dama Pesach. But he says, but just being is not enough. The slave, the servant, needs to actually work. So even if you are in the state of being that you are the servant of Hashem, you actually need to serve him in practice. That's why we got the Korum Pesach, is the beginning of Avoida. That we work and we do something and we eat l'shem shamayim. So not the mila makes us the servants, a state of being, and the other one is doing. We are beings and we are doing. We have an existence that we realize that we are nothing, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there and he's the only reality and we are part of him. But then there is an idea of self-assertion. That we do something. We're actually able to serve him. We're actually able to give him something that he doesn't have. The Bechol Mokim Nikra Avoida says, Korum Pesach is always called work. Tzarich dichsiv ma'avoida zois lachem. Uvod ne'amar v'avades avoidas azeh b'choidesh azeh. So says the Maral here something which is so critical in Avoidas Hashem. By an Eved is a state of being, recognition, and the second thing is actually serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By Mitzrayim, Bris Krov also says, always is a double language. Mi Mitzrayim gialtanu, u mi beis avodim pedisonu. We say on the Baruch, al geuloseinu ve'al pedus nafsheinu. So says the Bris Krov, because in Mitzrayim, two things happen. We served Paro, but not only we served Paro, we were the Avodim of Paro. That was our identity. We are Avodim of Paro. Says in the Medrash that when we were freed of Mitzrayim, wasn't enough that we stopped working. The Medrash says that Moshe went to Paro, please announce that we are not yours anymore. Says Geula and Pdia. Geula is when you transfer. You're working for this guy. Geula titnu laaret. You transfer ownership. Pdus in Loshon Pidyon. That you change the Kedusha, you change your being. Like you take Ma'aseh Shem, you do Pidyon, you exchange its essence. In Mitzrayim, we had learned that we, our being, how to be a reader and a writer, there's a two thing, is a twofold message. Is a state of being and a state of doing. Realize that how God relates to us is always in direct language, that we relate to him almost as equals. It's called direct speech. And then there's always an indirect speech. Look at the brocha. The brocha is Baruch Atah Hashem. You God. We talk like equals, face to face. Asher kidishanu b'mitzvos. If there we go to the third person, there has commanded us. So every brocha, every time we talk to God, is always in noichach, in direct speech, and indirect. So God is much better. Kaddish. We say Kaddish is gadal v'iskadash. Is gadal is that God is great. Gdula is giving. He connects. And iskadash, that God is separate from the world. There is a connection. There is there's such an idea called immanence and transcendence. There, God is at the same time transcendent and immanent. That's why the Kaddish is part in Hebrew and part in Aramaic. I'll tell you something very interesting about the Kaddish. The Kaddish are always multiples of four. If anybody pays attention to the Kaddish is multiples of four. Yesh mirab mevorach le'olam ule'ol me'olmaya. Right? So it says in the Nefesh HaChaim, because the four worlds of existence, those are the four. But then if you go and you say like this, Izborach, Vishtabach, Vispoar, Visrimam, Visnase, Visador, Visale, Vishalol. Eight. Goes from four to eight. But if anybody knows Hebrew well, knows that there's an incongruence in Kaddish. Because in the beginning, every word ends with a patach, right? Izborach, Vishtabach, Vispoar, Visrimam. Which is right, because patach is the al, the goes in the sentence, which is a running sentence. Then it goes to komats, vis hador, vis ale, vis halol. All of them are komats. So you go from a patach to a komat. Doesn't make sense. And the truth is, you can't have a kamat in the middle of a sentence. In the Birkas Hamazon, you say the word vit hadar la'ad ul'olmei olamim. Vit hadar la'ad ul'olmei olamim. If you look, if you pay attention, the it hadar is with the patach, not with the kamatz. And in the Kaddish, it goes from patach, vit nase, vit hador, vit ale, vit halol, goes with the kamatz. So, if you look, the Siach HaSode is one of the old Sidurim that went to try to clean up the Hebrew. So it puts a patach on everything. Everything goes, it hadar, vitale, vitalal, is a patach on everything, changes the kamatz. But Zalman Hanna changes, says, okay, the last one has to be probably a kamatz because it's the end of the Hebrew. Then Shmei de Kuchabrihu is in Aramaic. So when it goes from Hebrew to Aramaic, you put a stop, has to be a kamatz. But that doesn't work, the word it hadar has to change to patach. If you look in all the Sidur Hagro, the Sidur Balatanya, the it hador is with a komat, not a pasach. Why? But I always say, if you learn what we just told, it's true. It's always multiples of four. The first one is Izborach. Izborach means God connects to us. Brocha is when God emanates to us. Loshon Brecha. When he connects to us, he's open. That's why every shvach ends with a patach. Izborach, vishtabach, vitpoar, vitromam. All with that. But the second part of it is vitnase, the God is higher. He goes to a higher plane. So God is in a higher plane. Says Rabbeinu Bechai, the kamatz is God, patach is open, kamatz is closed. God closes onto himself. Therefore, every shvach after vitnase is with a kamatz. And you realize because we say shmei de kudsha brichu, says Nefesh HaChaim, kudsha brichu is this dwelling. Kodesh means that God is separate, is transcendent. Loshon Kodesh Umufrash. Baruch is that God extends to us. He is immanent. So Kudsha Shabrichu is this duality. He's transcendent and he's immanent. That's the idea of the Kaddish. Half of the Kaddish, which is Borach, when God connects to us, is Pasach. When he goes to Isnase, which is Kodesh, all of them are Kmutzim, they closed. That's why you word the word is Hadar. In the Kaddish, with the Komatz, in the Birkas Hamazon, with the Pesach. This duality is Pesach and Mila. Pesach and Mila is Pesach is a state, Mila is a state of being. You go ahead and say, we are the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we belong to Him. We are part of something much bigger. But that creates a distance, a very big distance. We are the servants. But then we get the ability to serve Him, to connect Him. That's Dama Pesach. So this is the birth of Jewish people. That the Jewish people, we write the story, and always the story that we write is the imminent God and the present God. The imminent God, the present God, and the transcendent God. That story we write, that's the story of Pesach. That's why the mitzvah that comes right after the birth of the Jewish people is Dama Pesach and Dama Mila, which represents this dual message. So I just want to say that in Pesach, it's an ability to use this as a prototype of life. And I think it's very important that in life, we are here to verbalize God. We are here to express God. Atem ele vadikel. And we have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks to us all the time. The first thing, we have to listen to the message. We have to take our take and we have to apply it to reality. And to realize that our relationship with Him is closeness and distance. You always have that juggle between Dama Pesach and Dama Mila, and that's the birth of the Jewish people that creates the ethos of the connection, the relationship, which Pesach is the one. So Pesach is the one that go from Mitzrayim to Pesach, which is Pesach, our ability to talk, our ability to express ourselves, our ability to verbalize. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did allow us to experience Pesach as a prototype to life and to realize that life is fascinating. Says the Yavetz, you think that Pesach is great? Jewish history post-Pesach is a lot greater. The only reason we celebrate Pesach because Pesach taught us how to experience Jewish history. And says Rav Tzodek, it's not Jewish history of the Jewish people, it's our individual stories. Our individual stories will become a book of stories, and the book of stories is the mission, and this is who we are, and that's how we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chag Kasher V'Sameach.